You know what I forgot to tell you? And this is in conjunction with Dean's story. I was afraid for a little bit. For those of you who didn't hear earlier, I had mentioned that I witnessed something with Dean Richards at Friday's awards presentation for the Walk of Fame. That's considered an awards presentation, right? That's an award.
Yeah.
Every time I say it, I'm like, was that really an awards? But it is. That's an awards presentation.
They all received
awards. They're in
awards,
the Walk of Fame.
Yes.
So I mean, they don't walk away with a trophy.
Yeah, they do, actually.
They get a trophy?
I think they did.
I didn't see a trophy. Anyway, I had mentioned that Dean and I were involved in something that I thought was very amusing. And what it was one of the guards there at the museum where we held the awards thought that Dean was Tom Skilling. And he's not. I mean, only Tom Skilling is Tom Skilling. And let's be honest, they don't look that much alike, in my opinion. They look a little bit alike, but not enough alike to think that
they
one guy
really,
is the other.
They don't look alike.
I don't think they do. Anyway, it brings me to last night. I go to play tennis in Wilmette, and as my group is entering the court, these other four guys are leaving the court, and these are guys that have played in front of us every Wednesday night for the past 2 years. I see them every Wednesday, but it's always just a quick, hey, how's it going? And that's it. There's not much beyond that. So one of the four guys goes, can I ask your name? And I go, yeah, it's Bill. And he just smiles at me, and that's it. And I go, hi. And he goes, have you given out any awards recently? And I go, yeah, as a matter of fact. And then I realize who it is. It's Larry. It's Larry, Wendy.
Potash?
No, it's not Larry Potash. It's Larry Weinstein, who we just gave the award to his father.
Oh, for Ten Pin Tattler.
Yeah. He was one of the guys on stage. He accepted his dad's award. And when I saw him last Friday, I'm like, this guy looks so familiar. Where do I know him from? And I couldn't place it. And usually I don't rest until I figure something like that out. But I went to bed that night going, why do I know that guy? Why do I know him? It turns out for the last 2 years, I've seen him every Wednesday night.
That is wild.
Yeah. Isn't that a strange thing?
You should play tennis with him sometime.
I might just do that. I actually suggested that.
You know who I ran into?
Uh-uh.
Listener Frank, who called us last week and said he worked at the Countryside Taco Bell.
Oh, you did?
Now I need to find a new Taco Bell.
Why?
Because he knows my order. I said, you know, when we go to Taco Bell, we spend close to, you know, $40.
You told me the amount. Is that true? Do you spend $40 when your family goes to Taco Bell?
That's a lot of food. Four of us, and Dylan usually has the same order all the time. Michael and Jim like to try out the new thing. There's a new cheddar toasted chalupa now.
Oh, there is? Yeah.
Interestingly
good. Not working
good.
For you? Oh, you like it?
Interesting. Whenever I say interestingly good, it's not terrible, but I don't think I'd get it again.
Interestingly.
Good. It tastes like, I'm a big fan of the chalupa supreme at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I love it. The beef chalupa, just taco meat in a chalupa shell. It's just really good. The shell is kind of, Frank, one of our listeners said it tastes almost like a Cheez-Its flavor to it.
I don't know if I need that in my
I love Cheez-Its.
But admit it, when you think fast food, if somebody said, what should the tab be on a family of four getting fast food?
Close to
$40 or $50 seems like a lot, doesn't it? You don't think so?
Well, yeah, I think so, but
couldn't
I mean,
you go to a more standardized Mexican restaurant and spend roughly the same?
No, because they add drinks to that.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. All right.
Listen, your girls are doing their own thing. It's just you and Terry all the time.
The four of us are in and out for under $4.
No, it's
bargain,
just the two of you now.
Yeah.
So you don't, I mean.
Right.
Because like Jim and I like to go out to breakfast on the weekend. We take our dog to doggy daycare.
Yeah.
And then we go have breakfast usually every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like $22, $24. And it's like, wow, we're getting off easy. But double that with four people, that's $50.
I guess it adds up quickly. The one I'm having a hard time accepting is that most of the restaurants that I eat at now, hamburgers are $14 to $16 for a hamburger. So that used to be
$8.95 was your hamburger
right.
price.
A hamburger you could get easily under $10. Easily, not a problem. Now I'm having a hard time in a regular restaurant getting a hamburger for less than $14 to $16. And sometimes more. I've paid as high as $19 or $20 for a hamburger. Doesn't that seem wrong?
Unless it's mixed in with, you know, there's steak mixed in and brisket.
There isn't.
How do you know
that? It's just a hamburger because I go in the back. I check.
Well, yesterday was National Cheeseburger Day. Did you have a cheeseburger?
I had not had Chinese food in 4 days, and I said to Jasmine, they're going to take my card away if I don't have Chinese food today.
What card is that?
You know, the card. So I didn't want them to take my card, so I went and had Chinese food for lunch with enough left over for dinner for under $40.
Well, you only get $20, so that's good.
Way under. Well, we both realize that the Chinese restaurants near you and near me all do these lunch specials where they give you an incredible array of food for under $10.
It's really pretty good. Under $10.
Way under. $7.99.
I have a problem with fried rice lately.
What could the problem be with fried rice? It's a miracle.
It is the best thing on earth. If you go get chicken fried rice or beef fried rice, even pork fried rice or shrimp fried rice, it is amazingly good. Mm-hmm. They whip it up with a beat egg in there, like a scrambled egg type thing. Mm-hmm. There's actual egg in the stir fried rice. There are scallions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have bamboo shoots. What's the
water chestnuts?
No.
Mound bar?
No, what is... Not chow mein noodles.
Lo mein noodles?
No, they're not noodles. They're bean sprouts.
Oh, bean sprouts. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't... I think sometimes they're in there. But when they add the peas and carrots...
Unnecessary.
I can't stand it.
No, I don't like it either.
Listen, when you make homemade fried rice...
You can ask them to not throw those... You can say, I don't want
really?
Those in. Oh, yeah.
There's a local place that has a great little lunch special. And if you order like your own order of beef fried rice, let's say, there are no peas and carrots. But if you order beef fried rice with your lunch special, they put peas and carrots. And I know it's to stretch it a little bit, but it ruins the whole flavor of it.
Right.
It's
right.
like just frozen.
If you're getting vegetable fried rice, then those should be a part of it. But if you're getting the other, you don't think
Chinese
so?
They're not Chinese restaurant vegetables.
I don't think they are either.
It's like, you know, beef stew vegetables.
Yeah.
They're Americanized and they shouldn't be in there.
I started going to a place. There was a place near me in Evanston and it was called, and I will be the first to admit, I went there because I thought their name was funny. It was called Asian Cajun. And I went, that's inventive. I'll try this. And then I end up really liking it. And I would get a lunch from it about once every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks. But then, I've told you this before, anytime I like a restaurant enough to start telling people about it, they close. I don't know what it is.
Of death?
There's something about the fact that I like a restaurant that as soon as word gets out that I'm in, they just go, well, we've done our part in this, and then they just close their doors. And a couple months ago, I went in, and I started complimenting the lady who owns it, and she goes, well, get your fill of it now, because we're leaving in 3 weeks. She opened up two other restaurants in other locations, and she said it would have just been too much for her to run all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the one near me, she goes, you like this one, so I got to close this one. I go, I get it. I understand.
Why didn't you offer to run it?
Oh, that's genius.
You'd never have to pay for lunch again.
I would love that.
I just want to know why you have to put peas and carrots in fried
rice.
Yeah,
that has no place in there.
I kind of like that you don't like that either.
No, it's wrong.
Because then that's why I've been going. You eat Chinese food typically, what, 3 times a week?
About 3 times a week.
All the same?
No, I mix it up.
You get a shrimp dish for sure.
I get, there's so many different places I go to get it at. So it depends on whatever that restaurant does best, in my opinion anyway. That's what I go with.
So you do a lot of shrimp. Do you do chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do beef?
Sometimes Mongolian beef, sometimes.
Oh, that's really good. Now I have to get Chinese food tonight. Sorry, Frank, we won't be by Taco Bell tonight. I saw him yesterday. And it's, you know...
You could still go there. You don't want to go there anymore?
I was there like 2 times in the last 10 days. And then I said, this isn't me tonight. I'm going out with my girlfriends. I just getting a bag of chalupas so the family can be fed.
What is the deal that, I know that sounded Seinfeldian and I didn't mean it to, but I mean legitimately, there is a deal, obviously, between Taco Bell's and Mountain Dew's, because they're always trying out Mountain Dew flavors that you can't get anywhere else. You can only get them at Taco Bell.
Baja Blast.
Are they? Yeah, it's Baja Blast. Is there? Are they the same parent company? They must be.
PepsiCo.
Because every once in a while, I'll try a Mountain Dew flavor at Taco Bell, and I go, oh, this is good, and then I can't find it anywhere. That's not in stores. It's not at other restaurants.
Yeah, the PepsiCo company.
They're the
Doesn't
parent-
Pepsi make Mountain Dew?
I think so.
Because Taco Bell KFC and all those things are under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
It's getting crowded under that umbrella.
Yes.
But I like the Mountain Dew Baja Blast. That's pretty good. And mainly because it's blue.
It's such an interesting color of soda pop.
I like it.
I know.
But there was big news, and Krista Flores, who's one of the engineers here, was rattled by this as well. The beef Mexi Melt has been at Taco Bell for, I don't know, the last 30 years,
mm-hmm.
20 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If you go try and order it now, they have discontinued it.
What happened? What's
it's
your
gone.
Theory?
I don't know. Everybody ordered it. It was like really cheap. It was 99 cents. It was basically just taco meat and pico de gallo wrapped in a soft tortilla. So
maybe the answer there is that it was so cheap that it was keeping people from ordering other items where their profit margin is higher.
No, because usually how our family did it, not me, and I'm not included, I really get a beef chalupa supreme and a beef burrito supreme, no beans. That's my always order.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's if you call them and go, I'll take a Wendy.
Yeah, that's it.
And a Baja Blast, that's what you get.
Yeah. I don't even typically get the Baja Blast. I sneak a sip of the frozen one when I'm bringing it home. But Jim always got the beef Mexi Melt for the ride home.
Really?
Because it's so easy to eat. It's just like a roll-up.
Right.
So he has... I never really got into him, but it was...
So he eats that prior to the meal, like when the food gets home, you
like
all
car
eat
fries,
it together.
It's a car Mexi Melt.
It's like an appetizer for him.
Interesting. Because it's tiny, 99 cents. But I'm shocked and appalled that they removed them from the menu. And Krista, actually, I saw on her Facebook page... And she might want to talk about this. She tried to recreate it at home because she was so upset it was missing.
Can you replicate something like that at home? I bet you can't. I bet that's too much.
I'm sure
it never would taste exactly the same.
Well, you can get Taco Bell seasoning at the Jeweler Mariano's. So you put the ground beef with the Taco Bell seasoning.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is in it, but there.
I have a version of what Jimmy was doing with his food. There's a hamburger place by me. I think we get them once every 5 weeks, every 6 weeks. Really good hamburgers, but their French fries are outstanding. This is the place I told you about. It's called Crossroads in Evanston. They have lemon fries. They call them Maria fries after the woman who runs the restaurant. But they are lemon fries. So they're just big steak fries, but they're cooked in a lemon oil, and they have a lemony flavor, and they're so unbelievably good. They're so good that whenever I go to pick up the food to bring home for Terry and myself, or if Reese is home, Reese as well, I have to put the bag of food in the back seat where I can't reach it. Because if I could reach it, I would eat every one of the fries by the time I got home.
Why don't you just get two orders?
No, because if I get two orders, then I go, why don't I just get four orders and fill the bathtub with them and just eat them all day?
I know Jim does this because we have an outside garbage can, and I seize things.
I know.
Sometimes when he goes to do the food run, because I haven't been cooking lately. I don't know. You're rubbing off on me when we're ordering
food. It's better to order food.
I like to cook. I just don't have the time or desire right now.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come back to me someday. But it's funny because like when he makes the Culver's run, there is a small wrapper of a small cheese curd that I notice is in the garbage can.
He's cheating on you with cheese curds. He is. He is purposely going.
I know. And disposing of the evidence.
Have you called him out on this?
No, I don't really care. He's given me a good idea to do it if I do the run.
Can I just say something?
Yes, Jasmine, of course.
I'm surprised you can eat Taco Bell.
I love it. I'm sorry. That is maybe my go-to place.
But don't you feel like, and I know you could say the same about me, because every once in a while I'll get Panda Express because it's so quick and so easy. But don't you say to yourself, boy, there's so many great Mexican restaurants near me.
It's not That's Mexican food. It is. I mean, it's fast food and it's good.
It's serviceable. It fills the niche, but wouldn't you rather have authentic Mexican food?
Sometimes that's a commitment. Like if you go somewhere and get a steak burrito or steak tacos,
yeah,
That just fills me up too much. I mean, if we're going out to dinner, I certainly wouldn't go eat in at Taco Bell.
Right.
But it serves its purpose.
A couple of years ago, when I took Kylie to California to look at colleges, we were driving through this part of town that was predominantly Hispanic, heavily predominantly Hispanic. And we got to an intersection where there were not one, not two, but three Mexican restaurants, two authentic Mexican restaurants and a Taco Bell. And the Taco Bell was jam-packed, and the other two, and I don't know how good they were. I didn't eat there. I just saw them, and they looked like authentic Mexican restaurants. Had a couple of people going in and out, but nothing like the Taco Bell. And I thought to myself, how does that happen? If you know the culture and you know the food and you've got your options right there at the same intersection, wouldn't you go to the authentic Mexican restaurant?
If you had a taste for Mexican food, you'd go Authentico. If you want Taco Bell, you go to Taco Bello.
I guess.
I couldn't eat Taco Bell after college.
Like, nothing? Did you overdose on it at college? Is that why?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. And then my stomach, it just...
It does not bother my stomach at all. I know everybody makes jokes about it.
No, I've never had any stomach issues from them.
Nor do I from White Castle. Sorry, don't. Yeah.
No, me neither.
And, you know, same thing with a burger. If you want to get like a good quality burger, you'll go where you go and spend $20 on a burger.
Yeah.
Or you'll, you know, go get a McDouble for $1.99 at McDonald's.
Right.
Convenience is part of it.
Yeah.
But I genuinely like Taco Bell. That is like...
You would rather go there than...
Not rather.
Just...
If I had a taste for Mexican food... I would go, there are two places I love, Hacienda Coculo, which is
that
in
country. That means House of Coculo.
Cucula, I'm sorry, Cucula. I said it wrong.
Do Fran and Ollie ever show up there?
No, they don't.
Only Cucula?
No, they don't. At Cucula's house.
That would be fun to see them sitting there.
And I love a Lalo's night in Berlin.
Yeah.
They are fantastic.
I've been there. That's pretty good.
Chili Relleno, very delicious there. That's if I want Mexican food.
Yeah.
But at Taco Bell... You know, before I met Jim, maybe I thought that was what Mexican food was.
Oh.
Because I didn't...
Oh.
We never had Mexican food growing up that much. I mean, my mom would make tacos.
Yeah.
You know, the family taco night that... And you can eat tacos other than a Tuesday. I'm getting really sick of this whole Taco Tuesday thing.
I know you can eat them on other nights, but most places do a special where they're half price or something. But if you have a taste for them on a Wednesday or Thursday...
Go ahead.
A restaurant will find a way to bring you tacos on a Wednesday or Thursday. Don't worry. Kim will come by. She'll give you the news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy. Stick around. It's the stream. It's WGN.
All right. Kim Gordon will do our news, but I mentioned... Krista Flores, who had the love of the Taco Bell Mexi Melt, and you posted something saying, "Where did it go? They've removed it
as
from
a kid,
the menu."
That was my favorite thing to eat. So I'm like, "Well, I'm going to make it myself then."
So you did. Bill doubts that yours was as good.
Well, I'm not saying it's good, but it did. It couldn't have tasted exactly the same.
It didn't taste exactly because, like I said, it didn't. I used the Taco Bell seasoning. I did everything that it said, but it didn't have enough grease.
Oh.
So it didn't have that authentic Taco Bell. But the pico de gallo is what made it.
Yeah.
So if you put the pico de gallo, you're pretty much
then it's
got
working
it.
For you. Yeah.
I found a Mexi Melt, or not a Mexi Melt, a Mexican pizza on Pinterest. So I'm going to recreate that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
You should put at the Taco Bell nearest you. You should put a little on their attraction board. If you miss this item, I'm making please.
Don't
call
give me
this
any
number.
Ideas because Mexican pizza and enchilada. I think it was the enchilada.
Yeah.
The enchilada
version.
Oh, that's another
that's
thing
working.
That they need to bring back. Oh. Yeah.
The Mexi Melt is gone. The Mexi Melt, warm, soft flour tortilla filled with perfectly seasoned and juicy ground beef, topped with ooey gooey cheese and fresh pico de gallo.
Oh, so good.
That's
I'll
work.
Make some.
Yeah.
I'll bring some.
All right.
I'll make some. You can tell me what you think.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Krista.
Sure.
All right. You can tell we're hungry today because we're talking about what's hot and what's cold, and it's food today, sponsored by American Weather Makers, the 60 Minute Men. Thank you, Kim.
What do you make of what's going on in Canada with Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, and these photographs? Are you up on this much? Do you know... I can do a quick refresher if you like.
Probably not what he wanted about a month before the election.
That's the timing couldn't be worse, really, when you think about it.
Timing is nothing, said the quote he put on Twitter today.
Right. So I know he's being very apologetic. And for those of you who don't know, some pictures have surfaced of him, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, dressed in, it says brown face. Some stories are calling it blackface. Apparently, he was at a party, an Arabian Nights party. This is years ago. He was 29 years old. Back in 2001, and he was costumed as a sultan, and decided to wear the brown face makeup to complete the costume. So these pictures have emerged. They said there were other instances where he also wore similar makeup. He, like I said, is being extremely apologetic. These are not that the timing is everything in terms of the election, it is, but in terms of these photographs being taken 18 years ago. But what do you think of this? What's a guy to do? I'm not sticking up for him, but it was a time where when you wore something like that, it wasn't quickly scrutinized.
It wasn't politically
incorrect. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was 18 years ago. I mean, I agree with you. I'm not standing up for him either, but times were different.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to do what he can to apologize, but yet in a way you want to know, like, is this truly sincere? Because
right.
he's running for Prime Minister of Canada and he's got a month left. And
right.
I mean, it seems that he's sincere,
right.
but...
Yeah,
it's bad timing all the way around.
I've used this example with Wendy before, Kim, but tell me your thoughts on this. One of my best friends, there was a year that we all went trick-or-treating. This is when the show Fed Albert and the Cosby Kids was the number one cartoon show on television. Actually, Scooby-Doo was number one. Fed Albert was number two.
Heyday of your life.
The heyday of my life.
Hey, hey, hey.
So my friend was dressed as Fed Albert in a great costume. It included blackface makeup because he was being Fed Albert.
But you didn't call it blackface. Blackface
no.
has a bad connotation,
sure, it does.
As it should.
Right.
This guy had makeup on.
Right.
I mean, I know
right.
now everything where you have makeup on is called blackface. It's different to
and
me.
I mean, and back then, I mean, you're trying to authentically look like Fed Albert
right.
if you're a white kid.
Right.
Right.
You're gonna make your face brown, and you're going to add pillows or something to your stomach to make
which
you
he
look
did.
Fat.
Which he did. But now I have wondered, because he lives in another city and has a very prominent job in another city, and I've wondered that if those photographs were to materialize of my friend dressed like Fat Albert back then.
Well, who did you send him in to?
And how old was he? That's the thing. I mean, how old
we were
was
10.
That's a little different than being like
good
18
on his parents.
Or 20.
Right.
But again, and right. I listen.
Or in college, like I think it was the governor of North Carolina. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
Yeah, in college, right?
Because that
right.
was in his yearbook.
Yeah,
you should not disrespect anyone because of their race, their religion, their gender, anything. You should not do that.
Right.
And he wasn't trying to do that, and he's a 10-year-old kid. And I'm sorry if that did surface. How would that?
Here's another example, and it involves me.
Oh, God.
When I was in high school, I was in a play called Anything Goes. I don't know if you know the musical or not, but I played there's a part of the show where there's three Chinese brothers, and I was one of those Chinese brothers, and they made us look as stereotypical as they could possibly make us look to play these Chinese brothers. So
it's makeup.
I know. But
I was in the Mikado.
You're playing a role. I mean, I was in The King and I. Same thing.
They were Siamese in that. Yeah.
I was in the Mikado.
Yeah.
And they used eyeliner
to elongate
yeah,
your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you dress as a clown, you put a clown makeup on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do it today, you know better.
I wonder what happens now during presentations of shows like this at schools, where they probably have to go part by part by part and say, could that offend anybody if we make this person this more or that more or this less or that less?
Right.
Could somebody be offended by that? Because so many of the shows that we all grew up doing, if you went to grade school or high school and did a play or something, there's always going to be a part like that in those shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. This was 18 years ago. I almost feel like you need to find out the feeling and the motive behind the makeup.
That's a good idea. There also should be an agreed upon cutoff, because everyone is more sensitive now than they were back then. So like if he was attending a party today and he decided, I'm going to dress like a sultan and I'll go with the makeup, then I could see where somebody would go, oh, no, you can't right. do that now. But it's hard to go back. You know, I bet back when this happened, when he was 29 years old, I bet nobody thought twice about it. He's like, well, he's the sultan and he wants to authenticate the costume a little bit more. The makeup makes sense.
Right.
I bet nobody even questioned it.
I was thinking about this on the way in today, because there was one, it wasn't a play. It was some project at school, and I had to play the part of like a Lana Turner kind of movie star. Mm-hmm. So they got this really cool dress from a thrift shop with shoulder pads, low V. It was like deep blood red. I had my hair up. I had a cigarette holder. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome because I smoked at the time. And I was able to actually, you know, I want to be authentic.
Of course.
And I put a mole. I darkened a mole and red lips. And I was thinking about this on the way in today. I put makeup on to fit the role.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was a white person, so it didn't color my skin at all. But you were playing the part of something you put makeup on. That's what people did.
Right.
If you, again, it's the motive behind it. If you are trying to make fun of somebody.
So in his case, in Trudeau's case at this party, he wasn't trying to, he wasn't making fun of anybody.
But I don't know that because I wasn't there.
Yeah. But I don't think the intent of the costume or the makeup was to ridicule. I think it was, I think, and again, I wasn't there either, of course.
To be authentic.
I think he was trying his best to play, as you said, to play a certain role. I know it's he's not on stage, he's not in the movies at a party, but if the theme was like an Alibaba and the 40 Thieves type party, and that's what he was going for.
It was good at the time.
Really tough.
But don't you, aren't you scared to say that, what you just said?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I can understand if you are of the ethnic background of any of these people, you know, anybody from black people to Asian people, you name it, and you're the one who's being represented by one of these costumes, I could certainly see why you would be offended. I 100% get that, but I think you also have to consider the climate of what was going on at the time.
Which doesn't make it right, but it makes it real because that's what was happening.
Right.
I mean, right. You can't.
Right.
You learn from your mistakes.
And you may not know the answer to this, and I certainly don't. That's why I'm asking this question. Is the political climate and the sensitivity as high as it is here in Canada?
Oh, that's a great question.
That's a great
like,
question.
I'm not sure.
I don't know
you
the
know,
answer.
No, I don't
that.
Know.
Right.
I have two
know.
Words
people
for you.
People care or they don't care.
Jerry Lewis, how did he recover from his...
From his what? From his career?
Yeah, well, okay, yes. But the Nutty Professor and all that stuff and...
Well, the Nutty Professor was just supposed to be...
A challenged person.
A challenged person to some extent. You know, he was just... I mean...
He just was nutty?
He was just nutty. Yeah. But I know to look at it, you say, well, he's...
And what about the Asian characters that he played?
All right. With that, somebody brought this up the other day, and it's one of the ones that always comes to mind with me, is in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, Mickey Rooney plays...
Yes.
This god-awful stereotype of an Asian man that at the time, nobody was questioning. And I know that doesn't make it right, but it would again, the temperature of the room was a little bit different.
I mean,
then.
I think of that Disney movie Song of the South and want to just cringe that
well,
I love that
not
movie.
Available
now,
I mean,
that one I'm torn on, Kim, because you've obviously seen Song of the South, right? I saw it when I was a kid, and I took it for what it was. I don't know that I was as I'm going to say sophisticated, and you can snicker if you want to, but. I didn't understand what was going on in terms of stuff. But
and I lived in Kentucky.
But that story was about the era of slavery.
Right.
So, you know, people have said, you know, what it does is it takes away the importance of slavery and it almost glamorizes slavery. I don't think it glamorizes slavery, you know, but Disney has all but disowned that movie. They pay tribute to it a little bit on their Splash Mountain ride. They've got the characters from Song of the South. But other than that, you can try your best to find a copy of that movie in the United States. It's not easy to do.
But why do they allow it on Splash Mountain?
I know, and Zippity Doodah is a great song.
Well, yes, it is.
It is.
Yes, it is. Because in the Splash Mountain roller coaster version of the story, you're not getting any of the black aspect of the Uncle Remus isn't in it. The slavery thing is all erased. It's just the Brer and the Fox.
Right. It's still from that movie.
And the rabbit. Yeah, it is still in the movie. And I just got, you know, those Funko Pops, those little figures that
our big heads.
Characters. Yeah, they have big heads.
Oh, yeah.
They just put out a 3-pack of those characters of Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and Brer Bear. And Song of the South and Uncle Remus is nowhere to be found on the packaging. It's just not there at all. So in a way, they're kind of paying tribute to the characters from the movie, but they're taking away the dangerous aspect of the storyline of the movie.
Just please be nice to people. Be kind. Don't discriminate against someone by the color of their skin or where they pray.
What's tricky about this, though, is with Justin Trudeau, I've never seen anything to indicate that he is racist in any way, shape, or form. I've never seen anything. He seems like the model leader of a country.
Just drummed up to help the other
The timing on it. Look at how close the elections are. So somebody found it and said, here's the kind of thing if you're running against Justin Trudeau that I think you might enjoy.
Hi, Bill and Wendy and Kim. It's not that people are more sensitive. It's that people are more aware of how people were wrong to do and say those things. Humans evolve.
That's true. That's true.
Absolutely true.
So,
but wouldn't you say that kind of both are true, that there is a more sensitive world right now, but it's because of what that texture just said.
Yes.
And you also, you know, it's always good to think before you act or think before you say something.
Right.
And I think people do that now, but are we just so extreme that we can't enjoy ourselves and have a little fun without being so worried about it?
Yeah.
Can I share a story?
Yes, please
do.
Okay, so when I was growing up, back in the day, my parents used to buy, you know, the big Santa Clauses that you stick out in the front yard.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, my parents bought the Santa Clauses, but when we tried to go find, I guess, a black Santa Claus, an African-American Santa Claus, they were nowhere to be found, or they cost $2 million to go get it. So my parents were going to show me, like, there are more equality, like, you can see another Santa Claus, another color, it's still the same guy. So what they did was they spray painted brown on the faces of the Santa Claus, because they literally put on the front yard and they say, I dare somebody say something to us. I'm trying to show them, my kid, that just because Santa is white and everything else doesn't mean that he can't be black, he can't be purple, he can't be blue.
Yeah.
And I dare somebody say that to me. Now I look at it now and I'm like, wow, that was really radical. But at that point in my life, I was like, I like that, because it shows me that just because this is depicted as that doesn't mean that you have to believe this is what's
going
on.
Did they get any criticism for
it? No, but I had Jewish neighbors, Muslim neighbors. Yeah. Nobody said anything. They were just like, hey, okay.
Well, we're all caught up in our own thing. Like, I was born a white kid and I still am. I'm sorry. So Santa Claus, all the pictures I saw, he was a white guy. I didn't think for a minute how he was in someone else's view. Mm-hmm. And same with, you know, Jesus should look more Middle Eastern.
Yeah, right.
It's just, you know.
Yeah, people have said that if you look at where on the map the story took place, he would not be, he would not look like the traditional Jesus that we have
hot
seen.
Jesus.
He would be a more,
hot. No, he's hot now.
Yes, he is.
I mean.
Well, he obviously works out, Wendy. I mean, that's a given.
But, you know, it's these depictions that we grew up with. And Jasmine, I didn't think of what Santa Claus would be in your mind. I didn't think, like, I have my own vision of the tooth fairy that visited my house.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else has a different one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all need to just accept that. And I don't know. I am not trying to offend anyone. I am not a racist. I give a care about everyone.
Yeah.
But you do have to watch what you say. And especially on the air, I have to sometimes watch how I say things, because I don't want to be perceived as something I'm not.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's fine.
And it's, you know, it takes some extra editing or thought just to say the right thing.
But shouldn't everybody be exercising that exact same amount of thought?
But not everyone is.
And you're not going to change everybody. If you can change the minds of a few people and open their minds to experiencing new and different things and trying to be not so close-minded or just stay in your little bubble, then I think we've succeeded.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, too, and I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but my grandpa Nino wore tank tops, and he called them a dago tee. To this day, I now know, as of about 5 or 6 years ago, I probably shouldn't call it that. But I mean, there have been times that, you know, I've been in the Gap. Hey, do you have any Dago tees? I'm not meaning any offense by it. And I didn't know that was a bad thing.
Well, the crazy
it's more than
thing,
5 years ago, but still.
The crazy thing about that is that's the only article of clothing that has not one but two offensive nicknames. They're also wife beaters, which
right.
is just
that's
offensive.
Terribly offensive.
Horribly offensive.
A Dago tee did not
that doesn't
seem...
make, no?
Okay, I've never even heard... Yeah, that's the first I've ever heard that
oh
term.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. We can call anyone in my family
yeah,
right now.
That's
what we called
commonly
it.
Referred to as.
And it wasn't, you know, supposed to be a bad thing. It was
right.
like, hey, where's... Nino's got his Dago tee on.
Right.
I
right.
mean, it's still... I have to think and go, tank top. Because it doesn't, it's not offensive to
I know.
Me. I'm
I know.
Half Italian. He was full Italian. It just, it's these things, but we do evolve.
I always think about how when I was in high school, on an almost daily basis, people would throw around gay slurs like it was no big deal. And even as a kid, I went, at some point, that's got to change, right? That won't be acceptable at some point in our history, in our future. And I'm kind of right now because I've talked to my daughters about it. When they were in school, you never heard a kid just throw that out.
But there, when we grew up, I'm telling you, and I have some friends that I knew in junior high who have come out now. And I had said to this one guy, I'm like, I didn't even know. And he goes, well, boy, you were unobservant then.
No.
But the point was, I didn't.
You don't think about it.
No, I didn't know what gay was back then.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't know that these terms
but by
were
high school,
offensive.
By high school, you did.
Yeah, but I still don't think...
You didn't know the terms were offensive?
No. I knew the terms yeah. were offensive, but I was unaware of anyone who was gay.
Yeah.
I really was... You know, I have no gaydar to
right.
begin with. I
right.
really can't tell
right.
at all. Was
yeah.
Liberace gay?
No.
Okay, see, because I wouldn't... He's just a great piano player. And
yeah.
like spangly stuff.
Yes.
But we didn't even know that was an option.
Right.
We didn't know anything about that growing up. High school, yeah.
By high school, you had to have.
I don't know, Bill.
But didn't it bother you when people would throw around, like it was always a derogatory term. If two guys were going to fight or they were in an argument, that's,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was part of the vernacular of their argument was they would call each other certain
yeah.
gay slurs and you would
right.
just go... That's the best you can do.
And if you think that makes you more manly.
Right.
Then...
How does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I knew those. I just didn't.
But my daughters have said, like, I've told them that, and they go, oh, that would never happen in our school. That just
well,
wouldn't
I think,
happen.
You know, I read somewhere that now they say that millennials are the most inclusive generation ever.
There's
which,
no doubt.
So that's a great thing.
Right.
When Dylan's 16 and when I took him to daycare at a home place, there were two dads that were a couple that had kids.
Yeah.
And so Dylan doesn't think anything different about it. Families come in all different shapes and sizes is what he learned.
Right.
So they grew up with it already happening. I'm telling you right now, when I didn't know gay couples... Maybe by 16.
You did, but you
but
didn't
I
know
didn't
you know, did.
Right, I guess.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I don't care. And I feel bad sometimes that gay people have to just come out and say, hey, I'm gay. You don't have to tell us. I don't come out and say, you know,
hey, I'm heterosexual.
Right.
Right.
So, but I know that they should be able to just come out and say, hey, this is what I am. But I wish they didn't have to. I wish we could just all be. And who cares what anybody else is?
Right.
But don't you think, and I've used this example before, that by doing that, by coming out, they're saying to kids that are struggling, look, I do this for a living and I'm very successful and you can be too. You can live a very happy, normal life. This shouldn't stop that.
Right.
So anytime anyone does, everybody goes, who cares? That guy shouldn't be coming out and saying that. I always go, no, that's
they're
good.
There to
that's,
help people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
but
positive.
But you shouldn't have to do that.
You
that's
shouldn't
what frustrates
have to do
me.
That.
And maybe in the next generation you won't.
Yeah.
But
right.
this is, you know, fairly new.
Right.
I mean,
right.
not so much anymore.
The
but.
Mere fact that Pete Buttigieg has gotten as far as he's gotten is a miracle. That's fantastic. Because seriously, if you go back 20 years... If there was even the rumor that a guy was running for president, he was gay, people would go, oh, that, well, that's obviously not going to be
mean,
the
look
president.
At
Lori Lightfoot.
Right.
I know.
He's the mayor of Chicago. Right.
I mean, and not only being gay, but a black woman.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
and look at that.
Right.
So we're getting there, people.
We are.
Right. It's slow going, but there's progress, right?
Yep.
All right. We will take a break. Kim, thank you for hanging out. We will take a break. We'll come back in just a little bit and close things off. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Good night. Thanks for hanging out.
She's gone.
What? Where'd she go? People leave so fast in this business, Wendy. Other businesses, if you're leaving, you stick around for a little while. Not in radio. When you're done, you're done.
But you get a pizza party.
Sometimes they give you a pizza party. Did we solve? I don't think we solved the Justin Theroux thing at all, did we? I don't think we solved
it. It's not our job to do, Bill.
He has apologized, and I think that's all you can do at this point. I don't know what else you do. Very
just
tricky.
Be nice to one another. Come on, in the words of Jerry Springer.
What did Jerry Springer say?
Be good
say?
To one another.
Did he say that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he lived it. Did he live it? I think he was just saying it.
I blame Steve the Bouncer for most of the meanness to people. Jerry cared.
Yep.
Jerry cared.
Did you say he's going to be a judge now on a TV show?
Well, he was an attorney, wasn't he? I thought he was.
Yeah, he wasn't. He was a... Yeah, I guess he was.
I think
he
was.
He's the mayor, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's full circle, baby.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Judge right. Judy can do it. Why can't he?
Right. No, that's a good point. That's a very good point. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We've got a show scheduled for tomorrow, and it'll be our last show of the week.
Nice.
So please tune in for that. It should be fun.
Nice.
Hi, Wendy.
See you, Bill. Good night.